We've been looking at our God-given DNA as Christians, as a church, and there's a rule that kind of guides and protects our DNA, and the rule is that we're to never lose sight or that sense of gratitude that we have for God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and making a relationship with Him possible. We're to keep that sense of awe that we've talked about, that sense of awe that God invited us to a relationship. We're to keep that at the forefront. And if we do that as Christians and as a church, we will treat each other the way God has treated us. And it'll keep us on course, it'll keep us growing, it'll keep us developing, becoming who God created us to be, who God's called us to be. It's the rule, all right? It's going to guide our actions. It's, it compels us to, as we've talked about, forgive one another. Last week we talked about accept one another. And forgiveness and acceptance are kind of core components to our DNA as Christians and as a church. Today, I want to kind of set the direction, and Paul's going to do that for us. He writes, he says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Now, when I read that, let's face it, for some of us, the initial response to that is, I don't want to. I have enough burdens of my own. And so that idea of taking on someone else's burdens doesn't motivate me. You know, I want to deal with my own problems. I want to make progress in my life. I want to reach goals. And so this idea of stopping and pausing for a little bit to take time to care for someone else, for many, it's just not appealing. It just isn't. I was having lunch a while back. A good friend of mine, he's a CEO of a large company, and we were talking, and he just began to kind of spill it all out there about how much time he was spending dealing with his employees and dealing with problems and issues that really were unrelated to the job. And he just said, it is so draining. He says, I need to be on the road, and I need to be producing for the company. Instead, I'm spending a lot of time dealing with problems and struggles. And he says, just exhausting for him. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, you know, as a pastor, sometimes I feel that same way. You know, my inclination is to kind of forge ahead, to break new ground, to kind of be pressing it on that front. It's just kind of how I'm geared. You know, bear one another's burdens. Now, some people read that verse, and they're like, well, that's what the church is all about. That's what God's all about. You know, and I know some of you are thinking, well, there's something seriously wrong with anybody who doesn't have that as their first inclination. In fact, when you meet people that's not their first inclination, it's kind of like, well, they need to get our heart. I mean, they've got a problem. There's something wrong with them. And in fact, I'm not even sure you can be a Christian and work that way. Real Christians love to carry each other's burdens. And for some of you, that's just how you're geared. You love to care for other people. In fact, for some of you, you've probably got a friend or a spouse that's trying to reel you back sometimes, because the fact is you're just a caregiver. You love taking on people's burdens. You love a verse like this. You get excited about it, because it's how you're made, it's how you're geared. And in fact, for some of you, even though you're pressing the limits of caring for others, you feel like you really need to do more. No, I think I shared this before, but it was a while back. I was right after a service, and I noticed there was a lady kind of pulled off to the side, and I didn't know her, but it was very apparent she was upset about something. And So that little compassionate side of me kind of noticed it, and I thought, I need to go over and, you know, talk to her. And I go, are you doing okay? And I was trying to kind of make sense, because you're trying to figure out what's going on, and I wasn't sure about what to say or do. And so I just go, is there something wrong? And she's kind of like, duh, you know. She didn't say that, okay? She didn't. But after I said it, I was kind of thinking, duh, you know. But I go, can I help you? And she's like, oh, it's terrible. It's just terrible, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, what's terrible? And I noticed nobody else around her seemed to be bothered by whatever it was. And finally, it took a while, but I drug it out of her. She goes, about the little girl. And so then I'm thinking, did I miss something? Something happened in the area around here that I didn't know about. And finally, after a little bit of work, I determined she had been watching TV and she saw a documentary of some sort about an abduction, and it ended up in kind of an international custody battle thing. And she didn't know the family. They were from another state. But here's this woman that is weeping over that situation. It's how she was wired. She's compassionate, burden-bearing. In fact, I believe if I could talk to her, she would tell you she would love a verse like this. Some people read a verse like that. Bear one another's burdens. Guys especially. And guys go, nobody's going to bear my burdens. I mean, I've got a few problems, but they're none of your business. So keep your nose out of my stuff. I'll keep mine out of yours. But God's word says, bear one another's burdens. Friends, it is part of our DNA as Christians. It's part of our DNA as a church. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. It's a long passage, but it is very elaborate. It's one of the most elaborate illustrations in Scripture. And Paul is going to go on and on and on, because Paul's going to make a point that he wants us to get. Paul's going to give us kind of a genetic code, you might say. It kind of dictates our code of conduct as a church and as Christians. Paul writes, he says, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. When they are all put together, so it is the body of Christ. So it is with the body of Christ. And when you see body of Christ, many times Paul's talking about the church. He's talking about the church when you see the body of Christ used. He goes on, he says, each of us is part of one body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit, and have all been given the same Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, how many bodies do we have? One. How many parts do we have? Well, many. So we got one body, many parts. The church is just like the human body, one body, many parts. In other words, we are parts. We're hands. We're feet. We're the mouths. We're the ears of Jesus Christ in this world. Paul says, yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. And I love this, because Paul wants us to get this. Paul's pushing his point now. He says, I am not, if the foot says I am not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. So Paul uses this kind of extreme example. And he says, you know, kind of imagine that you're walking one day and your foot just out of the blue, declares, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. And you'd be like, if your foot's talking to you, first of all, that's a little weird, right? But you'd be like, well, that's ridiculous, foot. I mean, you can make any decision you want, but the fact is, you're still part of the body. You do not get to decide. That's Paul's point. And just in case we haven't gotten Paul's point, he's going to come at it again. He says, and what would you think if you heard an ear say, I am part of the body because I'm not part of the body because I am only an ear, not an eye. Would that make it any less part of the body? Paul's going to keep pushing, and he's going to come at it another way. I'm going, come on, Paul, I think I get it at this point, but he wants to make sure. He says, suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would it hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how would you smell anything? But this isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. Paul says the human body is not a random thing. God designed it. God designed it very carefully, wonderfully, fearfully. You know, God designed the fingers and the legs and the arms, and he created the whole body to accomplish exactly what God wanted it to do. It's designed to do. And so as I'm reading this scripture, again, I'm just going kind of like, duh. I mean, oh, what's new here, Paul? I get it. But every day, without thinking about it, you and I enjoy the benefits of God's design. I want you to imagine if it was a random thing, and that's what Paul's going to push at. He goes, what a strange thing the body would be if it had only one part. So he has made many parts, but still there's only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Again, Paul's creating this ridiculous scenario. Can you imagine where the head's talking to the feet going, yeah, I don't need you. I mean, really, you're very unimportant. People can't even see you. And when people meet, they look at me because I'm the head. I'm the head. And so you've got this conversation. Can you imagine the feet hearing that? Go, well, you think you don't need us. Let's go for a walk today. In fact, we're going to walk outside in the sun, and we're just going to stand there for about 12 hours, and we'll see who needs who at that point. See, it's got this tension in the body. And in other words, we really can't function that way, can we? I mean, what if today I said, okay, you got to decide, but you've got to get rid of part of your body. Which part? I mean, what would you get rid of? I know a lot of people go, well, I'd get rid of a little toe. I got 9 others. Not a big deal. And you might think that initially, you might think that and go, oh, yeah, yeah. But I guarantee you, the longer you would sit and think about that, the less likely you would be to go there. You don't want to do without anything. Paul goes on, he says, and some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Yes, we're especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd, and we carefully protect from the eyes those parts that should not be seen. While, of course, the parts that may be seen do not require that special care. God has put the body together in such a way that that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. And I was thinking about that. It's an odd part of Scripture. Even though we don't think about it, the parts of our body that we're the most proud of, normally we don't give a lot of attention to. But we spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of money trying to figure out how to cover up those less presentable parts. True? Am I the only one? I mean, that's why we exercise and diet, right? To get rid of this. More people are attracted to your eyes than your feet, right? How many pair of glasses do you have? One, two, three? Compared to how many pair of shoes? I mean, just be here for the Waterman Project when we're bringing shoes in. You find out. We got lots of shoes. Every morning, most of you spend more time with your feet than your eyes. Think about it. I mean, our feet get a lot of attention. You're putting stuff on. And that's Paul's point. Paul's pressing this. He wants us to understand it. It seems so simple. But he says, this makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other. See, here we go. That they do for themselves. When you are physically injured, how many of you have been injured before? All right, hopefully not this morning. You know, but whatever gets injured, do you ever notice how the entire body focuses on that injury? The rest of the body just kind of steps in at that point. It's God's design. God designed the physical body that way. God mixed the parts. God chose the parts. Why? So that they would take care of one another. You know, a while back, I was playing basketball, and I was going for a ball. Another guy was going for the same basketball, and we collided full speed. Dave Miller, some of you might know, Dave and I went head-to-head going full speed. We both needed stitches, ended up in the same hospital getting them. I got seven of them above the eye, and I don't remember how many Dave got. I know it was more than that, so... That tells you who's got the hard head, but anyway. I want to illustrate kind of what happened. After we crashed into one another, I kind of was like, ugh, and a little bit dazed at that point. My hand immediately came up to my eye. And immediately, my fingers, I could feel it was wet. And so I bring my hand down. I can see blood all over. And then my mouth turns to Nick Baggio, who was doing announcements a minute ago. And I go, how bad is it, Nick? And Nick assesses things. And he goes, I say we continue to play. It's true. So much for his medical advice. But he really did. He tried to tell you. He's like, I think you'd be all right. Let's keep playing. You know, it's like... What a friend. What was interesting to me when I think about that, when it happened, the parts of the body, they just kick in. They do their thing. You don't have this debate going on in your mind going, you know, the parts of the body going, hey, you think we should help out on this? I mean, yeah, I got kind of laid open there, but I don't know. I don't know, man. There's a lot of blood up there. I say we stay away. I mean, that's not what happens, is it? When you're injured, the rest of the body just automatically goes into action. It goes into motion. The parts don't go, oh, I don't think I'm participating in this one. And that is Paul's point. Paul's given us the design. God's given us the DNA, that genetic code of how we're to function as Christians and as a church. Paul goes, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. They rejoice. I mean, we know that if you get an infection, you get an infection in your body. If you just ignore the infection, the rest of the body suffers. If one part of the body is honored, every part rejoices. No, this year, I don't know how many of you watched the NBA, but it's been a really tight race for the MVP. I believe Steph Curry should get the MVP, and he's in the top running for that. But James Harden is also in there, Anthony Davis. When that is awarded later this month, when that award happens, it's not just for the hands or the feet or the eyes. When that award is given, it will be for the whole body of that person. Paul wants us to understand that. It is part of our God-given DNA. The fact is, he writes, he says, now, that's kind of like attention. Pay attention here. Here we go. I'm really going to give it to you now. Here is what I'm trying to say. Finally, Paul gets around to it. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is separate and a necessary part of it. Paul says, I want you as a church to think like a body. Don't think like parts. Don't think like important parts. Don't think like unimportant parts or less important parts. God says the church is to function like the physical body. Every part is to be cared for because every part is important. In other words, we are to care for one another. It's the genetic code. It is what we are called to be. It's part of God-given DNA in us as Christians and as a church. I mean, why do we care for one another? Well, part of it is we care for one another because when we do that, we're caring for the body of Christ, caring for the church. We're caring in the way that God's called us to. So what's that mean? Well, you can't really sit back and go, well, I don't really know them very well. So I'm not taking food to them. I don't know them. I'm not getting involved in that. I hardly know them. Paul says, whoa, think like the body. Care for each other. It's imperative. You know, when it's a spiritual thing or a physical thing or an emotional thing, Paul says, care. I mean, maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you're good with your hands and can do things. You know, when it's relational, care. Again, maybe it's just you're there for somebody. Maybe you're a good counselor. You know, when it's a financial thing, maybe you're generous. Whatever it is, Paul says, care. You need to be caring. You need to step in, take care of one another. I mean, when you care for that person, when you care for that family, when you care for that couple, that teenager, that single mom, that person, you need to know you're not just caring for an individual, but you're caring for the body of Jesus Christ. Because the reality is when that person goes down, when that couple breaks up, when that kid runs off or that family gets disintegrated, the body suffers. You know, if I cut my hand, and if you help me, my hand does not thank you. My whole body thanks you. And that's Paul's point. You know, Jesus, he was talking to the disciples one day. He was preparing to go back to heaven. It's right before the ascension. And he tells the disciples, he says, go and make disciples. He says, I'm leaving you. It's all going to be up to you after I'm gone. I mean, you're my ambassadors. You're my representatives in this world. Christians, we are called by God to care for the body of Jesus Christ. And friends, that motivates me. That gets me fired up. You see, when we care for one another, when we take that seriously and we get to it, we operate more effectively as a church. It enables faith fellowship to more effectively fulfill its mission in this world. When the physical body goes down, everything goes down to some extent. True? I mean, your work suffers, your family suffers, the relationships suffer, even finances suffer during that. The part affects the whole body. The same thing's true with the church. If part of the body is sick, hurting, we are unhealthy to some extent. As a whole, we're not going to operate quite as effectively in fulfilling our mission as a church. I've said over and over, faith fellowship, called by God, created by God. God knew about our existence before we knew about it, and He called us to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And the healthier we are, the better we care for one another, the more effective we are at operating and accomplishing our God-given mission. It's just that simple. That helps me a lot as a leader. See, care is a means to an end. Care is a means to a stronger church, to a more focused church, a more able-bodied church. The implications of this passage also are that we do not bear burdens alone. No lone rangers in the church. You know, if I hurt my hand, my brain physically does not go, all right, I'm going to assign a member to take care of the hand. All right, foot, take care of the hand. It's your responsibility. But I got things to do. It's your responsibility. But it's going to be really hard. See, the whole body goes into action. Can you imagine going in for surgery and the surgeon shows up, but nobody else shows up? You'll be fine. I'm taking care of everything. Now, imagine your house is on fire. Fire department shows up, but it's one fireman. Where's everybody else at? It's just me. Don't worry about it. Friends, it's not going to work that way. Same thing's true in the church. You are a part of a team, a much larger body. There are no lone rangers out there to just provide care, and they just do it all alone. And a little sidebar here. Some of you I know are caregivers to people. Don't do it alone. You cannot take on the weight of the world by yourself. Because you know what will happen? My guess is may have already happened. You burn out that way. You get to a point. If all you do is provide care and you're trying to do it alone, you'll get to a point where you do not want to hear about needs. So what happens is you don't ask people about situations, things going on in their life, because you really don't want to hear about it. You don't answer the phone. Pretty soon, what'll happen is you'll just quit coming to church. You kind of pull back. Why? Because you're used up. There's just nothing left. That's not God's plan for you. It's just not. And let me say something to guys here. I'm going to pick on the guys a little bit, and I realize it's not just a guy issue, but many guys, a lot of times, we just don't want to admit that we got needs. And it kind of goes like this. Hey, you need some help. You got something going on in your life. You need me to step in with you. give me a call. But I will not be calling you if I need help. I mean, sure, I've got some problems. Sure, I've got a few family things, a little tension at home, some financial pressures, but I'm not bothering you with it, and the fact is I'll kind of deal with that on my own. I mean, that's how we tend to be. If you attend this church, if you call Faith Fellowship your home, if you need care in your life and you refuse the care, you're not going to let anybody know about it. Friends, you are not only hurting you, you're hurting the body. You're forgetting that you're part of the body. And I know, sometimes it's really difficult to think like the body. It's hard to let someone know that you need some help, that you need some care. It's really hard to admit there's a weakness or a struggle. And we just have a hard time admitting it. But friends, you got to take that step. If you're a member of this church or call this church your home, you cannot decide to go it alone. You can't. See, when the problem comes, if that's what you choose to do is to isolate yourself, it becomes an infection. And over time, that infection will build and you'll get bitter, and at some point you just die. See, the implications for this passage are very, very clear to me. When we care for one another, it's about ensuring the health of the church and ensuring the health of each other. You know, you need care. You need to let us care for you. You know, because if we care for you and you care for me, it keeps the church healthy. In fact, I would encourage some of you today to just come out of hiding and go, you know what, I need some help. You know, to share with people that you've connected with here, to say, look, I've been keeping this quiet, but here's where I'm at in my life. Now, I'm going to kind of wrap this up, but there are a couple things I want to say on this front. If you're a team leader in this church, or a teacher, you're on worship team, or, you know, in a position where the fact is a lot of people know you. The tendency when you're in those kind of positions is when you look at the church, you look and you see people that you kind of evaluate and go, well, they're not quite as important. And I just want to say that's wrong. It's wrong. We are a body, and we have lots of parts. We are to care for the body. I mean, if we start thinking like, oh, they're kind of like a little toe. Well, friends, this is wrong. And in fact, it'll create a disaster at some point. The flip side of that's true also, that maybe you're that person, and when you kind of assess yourself, you go, well, I'm kind of low profile here. You know, I'm the little toe, stuck in a sock, stuck in a shoe. Nobody even knows I'm here. You start thinking that way. Yeah, hardly anybody knows me. And so that tendency is, well, I'm not so important, so I'm not going to ask for care. I mean, they're so busy and big and everything, so I'm just not going to do it. Friends, don't do it. Because if you start thinking that way, we all suffer. We all suffer. And then I know there's a group of people that just are like, well, I'm just not going to plug in. You know, nobody's going to know about my needs because nobody knows me, because I just stay in the shadows. Nobody's caring for me. I'm handling my own stuff. And friends, a very graphic picture of what God thinks about that. I mean, if you refuse to function as part of the body, where you can kind of give and receive care, if you're like a foot or a hand or an ear or an eye or whatever part you are, I want you to think about it like this. If that's how you function, you go, well, I'm going to do my own thing and not going to get connected. Well, it's like severing your hand off and throwing it over there. I mean, it's kind of a gross picture. And that's God's point. You cannot function that way. See, you suffer, the body suffers, the kingdom suffers, and ultimately the mission of the church suffers when we think that way. Some of you need to stop just attending church. And you need to get plugged in. Need to get on a ministry team or in a small group where you can get acquainted with people, where you can begin to share heart with other people that can give and receive care so the church can be healthy, so you can be healthy. I'm sure many of you have done this. Have you ever gotten sick and you just decided you're not going to the doctor? Yeah? Yeah, the spouses want to shove their other one's hand up. Oh, yeah. But you don't want to go to the doctor. Don't want anybody to bother you. And what happens, usually, if you ignore the illness long enough, the rest of the body goes down, doesn't it, at some point? Churches have a tendency this way. There's an illness. There's a wound. There's a hurt. And they tend to want to just push it off to the side. And what I want to say is this church can't function that way. It will not function that way. I mean, if we are going to be the church that God called us to be, that God created us to be, we have to think like a body. We have to think like what? We have to think like what? We have to think like what? A body. You know, Jesus said one time, by this, all people will know that you're my disciples. They're going to know you're a Christian by this. And it wasn't because we go to church. Not because we sing songs in worship. It wasn't because of some strange habit that people are going to know you're a Christian. You know, it wasn't because you put a bumper sticker on your car or you wear a cross. No, it wasn't any of that. It says, they're going to know you're a Christian by how you love one another, how you care for one another. In other words, this is not just about meeting needs. It really is about the Great Commission. Because the world pays attention when people love each other and when people care for one another. You know, it's central. It's leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we do as a body. We're to think like the body. It is in our genetic code. It is part of our God-given DNA. Our God-given DNA. Let's stand as a body and have prayer today. Our holy God, God, we just praise you. And God, I pray that we would be your body. We would be your hands and your feet and your ears. And we'd be that little toe. But that we would be your presence in this world. And God, I pray that we would always be looking around us, celebrating with those that are celebrating, and that we would step into the suffering and the pain and the tears and the struggles. And God, that we'd get comfortable in both those worlds. That we wouldn't avoid those moments. Because we are the body. God, I pray we'd get really good at being the body. That we would just care for one another and love one another. And God, whatever it is you'd place on our heart, that we would just move into action. That it'd be automatic. We might even start moving forward. We know what we're going to do. But God, I pray that Faith Fellowship, that we would be your body in this world. And that we'd care for one another. That we'd gladly carry burdens for one another. God, I pray you'd open our hearts, you'd open our lives to the possibilities. That you would work through us. And that we would be all you've created us to be and called us to be. We give you the praise. And God's body said, amen. Let's worship.